Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. But let me turn to my guests who are here with me this morning from the San Juan County Partnership. Amanda Evans is here. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you back. Also, David Flores is here from the Farmington Public Library. David, good morning to you.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. Thank you for coming in as well.
Thanks for the early invite.
You're welcome. It's not too early for you.
Nah.
I imagine you're up at this hour all the time.
Constantly.
So, exactly. But let me start with Amanda this morning to talk about a favorite event of mine, because you guys keep inviting me back, and that is San Juan County's Got Talent, the annual fundraiser for the San Juan County Partnership.
Yeah, we're doing our sixth year this year. So,
the sixth year? Yeah. Holy smokes. Okay.
It's going fast.
It has. That's true.
We've had some great talent over the years.
Right. And you're looking for more.
Yes. Yes. Always.
Okay. So tell me, kind of remind everyone of kind of the rules or what's allowed or what kind of talent you're looking for.
Pretty much anything. We always have singers and dancers that apply, but we love things that are out of the box. We had a ventriloquist last year. Hopefully he'll be back.
Okay.
But we would love another one. I would love to see like jugglers, something like that. That's a little different.
Right.
We've had comedians in the past, but love to have more of those. Pretty much anything talent-wise, we would love to have.
Okay. And the show is on October 26th.
Yes.
But the auditions are ahead of that, right?
Yeah.
So when do folks start need to get their applications in and things like that?
The sooner the better, because we try to get everybody scheduled. We do the auditions like in one weekend, so we're going to do them the 11th and 12th of October.
Okay.
So the sooner you get your application in, the sooner we can get you a time scheduled. We usually have at least 25 to 35 people audition, and then we cut it down to 9 to 10, depending on timing and things like that. So the sooner you get it in, the better
okay.
we can get you scheduled.
And there is a deadline, though, of October 4th, right?
Yes.
To get your auditions application
yes.
in.
Yes.
And then the auditions will be held the 11th and 12th, as you said.
Yes, and we also take video submissions. So for some people, you know, you might need a piano or something. And we do we do it at Henderson Fine Arts the night of the performance. So you'll have a piano or room there to set up equipment, but auditions are not held there. So if you have, you know, a big band set up, if you have piano, things like that you might want that aren't easily moved, you can do a video and submit it that way.
Okay. So you have some options for folks,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
And again, the deadline is coming up October 4th, which I know it's a little over a month away, everybody, but it'll be here soon.
Yes,
so,
time goes fast.
Make sure you get that in. And you can find this information on your website?
Yes, sjcpartnership.org.
Okay. And again, it's always a great show in October, and there's a lot of variety, and that's kind of what you're looking for, I think, when it comes to the auditions and things to kind of have a great mix of acts for the show and good talent, obviously.
Yeah, if you've seen like America's Got Talent, we're not trying to recreate that, but trying to get some similar things to that, you know, trying to get a variety. Of course, we love singers and dancers. Don't want to ever discourage anyone from applying that just does that. But yes, anything more out of the box, we would love to see. We've had cultural dancers. That was really fun. Like I said, comedians, all different things, anything
right.
gymnasts have come. I think I'm trying to remember. I don't think we've had somebody that does, you know, like martial arts, but that might be something. Anything
right.
you can think that might be a talent, we would love to see.
Okay. And again, all genres of music, all genres of dancing, I mean, a wide variety of stuff that we've seen on that stage.
The only thing we do ask is family friendly. So
sure.
lyrics that are explicit, we won't allow. But,
right.
you know, if there's a radio edit version, you can use that.
Yeah.
So as long as it stays, because we're a very family friendly event.
It's a great family event.
Yeah, kids love to come. So we don't want anything that would, you know, not not be where kids could see it.
True. And I know you don't let me juggle with my flaming baton, so no open fire.
Yeah, that is a college rule, actually.
Or else I'd be all over that.
They
you
don't
know?
Allow fire in Henderson.
No, they don't.
Yeah, if you want to juggle, it does have to be non-flaming something.
Right.
But otherwise, you know, light up something, that would work probably.
Yeah, know, use batteries.
Yes.
That could work, right?
Yes.
So it's San Juan County's Got Talent, the 6th annual coming up. And again, there are big prizes for the winners from this competition, right, on the night of the show. It's, $500 grand prize and $300 runner-up?
Yes. We used to do kind of different categories, but because we have such a wide variety of talent, that didn't really work because you might have one person in a category. So now we just do a grand prize, $500, and runner-up, $300. And last year we had a band win. Cinematica was the second prize, and then we had a pianist, Autumn. I don't remember her last
name. Uh-oh. I can't help you. I'm trying to remember it, too. But Autumn, you were great.
Yes.
So
if
congratulations.
If you go on our Facebook page, you can go back and look through past.
It's there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Past stuff.
You can kind of see. And that's a great thing, too. You can go back through the Facebook posts and see some of the other acts and some of the posts about the show. And what made it to the stage and things like that. So, but don't forget, everyone, get your application in by October 4th, and then you'll be called to audition. And then if you pass that, you'll be on the show later on in October.
Yep.
Is how it works.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, it's a great show. I'm looking forward to it. Again, you guys always invite me back, so thank you.
Well, you do a great job emceeing and keep us going during the show, and so it...
Despite my lack of flaming batons to juggle, but I understand. So it's always great. Well, I have my shiny shoes ready to go.
Awesome.
And that's the important thing.
Yep.
Right?
That makes the show right there.
I don't know if it does that, but at least it helps me get around. So that's good. Very good. Let me bring in David Flores to the conversation here. David, do you do any juggling at all? I bet you do at the library, all the responsibilities that you have.
Well, I wouldn't call that juggling, but I would call that more just passing the buck.
I see. Okay.
But you could bring your chainsaws.
My chainsaws.
You could juggle your chainsaws. You can't do fire.
I don't know if the college would allow juggling chainsaws. That could also be an issue.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll see.
I'd like to see that.
Can we sign you up for that? Is that something you do?
I could practice.
All right.
I'm sure there's a book at the library that I could read about that. And then.
Very good.
Yeah, I would have all. Yeah, sign me up for it.
All right.
Okay.
I can see it now.
I might need more than $500 for medical bills.
I can see Nine-Finger David Flores is coming to perform. So there you go. That's perfect. But the library is a big partner with the partnership, isn't it, for a lot of things that happen in the community, which is, of course, why you're with us this morning. And
so...
Tell us about a couple of the things that the library helps to do with the partnership in the community. The one I know of is Mayor's Teen Advisory Council.
Right.
And what are some of the other ones?
So the other partnership that we have, and we do a number of things with a partnership we have for many years, but the San Juan Youth Coalition is a group of teens, and the mission is to prevent underage drinking. I think that's a good thing for our community. Back in 2000, San Juan County was ranked number one in the nation for underage fatalities, DWI. And so since 2000, we've come off that list. We've worked very diligently, a number of folks in the community. The partnership does sticker. We do a sticker shock.
Okay.
The Mayor's Teen Advisory Council.
Right.
And the San Juan County Partnership and the Youth Coalition, because I don't know if folks know this, but it's against the law for anyone under the age of 21 to handle alcohol packages in convenience stores, in grocery stores, Walmarts, places, anywhere it's sold. It's against the law for them to handle the packages. So as part of our sticker shock and getting the word out, we have a sticker that we place on an alcohol package that states it's a fourth-degree felony to provide alcohol to anyone under the age of 21. Since it's against the law for the kids or the underage folks to handle those packages, we need to partner with adults. So San Juan County Partnership, they bring the adults to the table, and then the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council brings the teens to the table. So then we'll meet at different places, Smith's or Safeway, both of the Safeways, Dino's up on Crouch Mesa, and we'll place those stickers. A number of years ago, when we did our first sticker shock at Dino's up on Crouch Mesa, I talked to the manager, and the manager was very excited to do this program with us. And she told me, she says, "Do you realize that we are the busiest packaged liquor in San Juan County?" So everything that you sticker today will be in someone's home tonight.
Wow. That's a lot of sales, isn't it?
That's a lot. And yeah. It's a small store, but it's busy. Very yeah. busy. They get, and as a matter of fact, the last time we were there, they're getting shipments daily.
Wow.
So
okay.
Go figure.
Right. But good to get that word out to that audience, right?
Exactly,
to those customers. And that's what you do.
That's exactly what we're trying to do.
Sure. Yeah. And Amanda Evans, again, from the partnership standpoint, this is a great message to remind folks about that adults should be buying alcohol for minors and to get the youth involved to kind of get the word out too.
Yeah, a lot of people don't understand what exactly the penalties are if you do provide alcohol to minors. You can provide it to your own child in your own home, but if you're providing it to a family member, a niece, nephew, a sister, brother, that's illegal, and you can go to jail and face a pretty hefty fine for it. And so we really try to get that message out as much as possible. And it's always funny when I go to meetings and we mention sticker shock, they're like, oh, those are those bright stickers we see on the packages. And so people see them and people look at them, and it makes a difference. And even just when we do it the day of when we're there stickering and moving the alcohol, people will stop and ask us what we're doing. And so it's a great education tool right in the moment.
Right. Very important. And so that's one of the things that the library does to help the partnership and others. Some of the other things?
The other thing, well, we have the Mayor Student Advisory Council.
Right.
So in that we meet once a month on the first Thursday of each month at 6 o'clock at the library in the teen zone. And, you know, the partnership has always been very helpful with us. We do a number of things with the partnership. Over the years, just thinking about some of the things. Well, we helped with the talent show. We also are part of the social norms campaign. So in social norms campaign, what happens there is we want to get the message out, because not everyone. Sometimes people have the idea that all the kids are drinking, and that's not true.
Right.
It's not true at all.
That's true. In fact, I've been corrected about that on several occasions from the social norms campaign, because they come up with the actual statistics of how many kids aren't drinking or aren't doing drugs, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and to look at those social norms campaign, you know, when 9 out of 10 are not doing it, then I think that, and one of the reasons I really like it is because I think we should focus on the positive aspect.
You bet.
Because 9 out of 10 kids are not taking meth, or 9 out of 10 kids are not drinking and driving, or 9 out of 10 kids are not doing whatever. Those 9 out of 10 kids, they kind of get forgotten about. And we put all of our focus on the one kid that's doing it.
So. The 1 out of 10, that's right.
And so it's good. I like the social norms aspect of it. And sure. I think that's one of the reasons that we've made a difference in the community. You know, there is such thing as peer pressure, and good peer pressure is good for the kids, you know.
Sure. Well, I would imagine that 1 out of 10 kid who's maybe doing those things, and I'm not sure if that's the correct percentage, but Amanda can tell us. Yeah,
it is.
But if they think that it's more, because that's all they hear about, are the kids that are abusing drugs or alcohol or meth or whatever it is, then they feel like this is the normal thing, that's you're a teenager, that's what you do. And yet, if we get the word out that actually most of your peers aren't doing that, that could help change their behavior and maybe help set a different path for that child, that teenager.
It definitely does. And that's one of the good things with social norms. So we partner with the Partnership on Social Norms. Another project that we did a number of years ago and still in place is the Social Host Ordinance. That was a process that took us a while, but we finally got a law in the books in Farmington that it's against the law to host underage drinking parties.
Okay.
So what would happen, and it makes the homeowner responsible for what's going on in their home. What would happen in the past is maybe parents would be out of town, their kids would get together and they would be meeting at a home having an underage drinking party.
It's the plot of many movies, I think, that we see. So, yay. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. And maybe more, not just movies.
Yeah, well, right. It was happening. That's true, which is why we have a law.
Yeah.
So.
And so that now that with a social host ordinance, now the homeowner is responsible. They can receive a fine. You know, the first time, and most of the time what would happen, the parent didn't even know that it was going on. So there was really no recourse.
Right.
So law enforcement couldn't really, they had nothing to to go out and look for these things. So now with the social horse ordinance, they can give them a fine, they can give the homeowners a fine. Plus, it's a good thing that now the homeowners, the parents, are going to, not that they never were, but, you know, it's going to be a little bit more, how shall I say this as politically correct as I can, you know, they're responsible
right.
for what happens in their home.
They can pay attention,
and
a little closer
pay a
attention
fine if they don't.
Yeah.
You know, so
sure. And Amanda Evans, I know this was something the partnership wanted to get done and happen in Farmington, and to make parents a little bit more accountable for what's going on in their home, even when they're not there.
Right.
And this is all part of that was written into that ordinance, correct?
Right. And well, what's good about it is it doesn't even have to be the parents. So the parents leave a 22-year-old in charge of their house, and the 22-year-old buys the beer and throws the party for younger siblings or for friends who are underage. Then that fine can also go to that 22-year-old sibling. And that's actually what we've heard a lot from some of the law enforcement recently, is that it's the older girlfriend that wants to look cool and throws the party at their house and provides the alcohol. And so now there's some recourse that for them too, besides just the fourth degree felony, because it's a little harder for law enforcement to always prove that person provided the alcohol, or maybe they didn't. Maybe they just opened their house up and allowed the youth to come in, but somebody else brought the beer. So now that person has some accountability, even if they didn't provide the alcohol, if they provide the place.
Right. Very good. And David Flores, again, the library, a big partner in all this, and some of the other things that the library is doing. You mentioned the Youth Coalition, the Mary's Teen Advisory Council, and other things.
Another project that we did with the partnership was when we did, we worked with the council, city council, and the mayor, Mayor Roberts at the time, to not have convenience stores, package stores sell fortified alcohol. That's helped also. Probably more so with the things that were going on downtown, you know, fortified beer, those items they're made to inebriate folks. That's really what their purpose is.
Right.
So when we passed that ordinance through the city, you know, places downtown, they wouldn't sell those items. And so you don't see a lot of that trash around town. So that was another I think very important milestone, and that's one of the reasons those are some of the reasons why we've dropped out of that list.
Right, which is a good list to be dropping down on, is what you're saying.
Yes,
so
definitely,
that's great. And you mentioned some of the past mayors, and so again, a credit to the administration, the mayor and council for supporting these ongoing initiatives, right, and
right.
letting the library work on these things too.
Yeah, you know, the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council was established by Mayor Bill Stanley, but every mayor since has always been a participant of it. So yeah, definitely, you know, props to the city council, to the administration, to the administration of the library as well, you know, to
sure.
allow us to do these things. You know, some people may think, well, what does the library have to do with it? Well, it's a social place, and it's a place for teens to get involved in the community, and that's really what the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council is. We partner with the partnership, and we also do a number of things in the community. Some of the teens will get together, and they'll collect hats, gloves, scarves, and they'll give them to needy families or needy kids. Probably one of the projects that I really was proud of the kids that they were working on was with the Red Apple Transit. A number of years ago, Bob Campbell was the assistant city manager.
Right.
He was looking at the ridership of the Red Apple Transit, and he was noticing that the ridership was dropping. So he was asking, he had some conversations with the community, and there was a teen that was at the meeting. They were having a town hall at the library, and there was a teen at the library, and they asked, well, how come the kids are not riding the bus? And one of the kids from the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council raised his hand. He says, well, because you don't go where the kids would like to go. And they said, well, we go to a lot of different places. Well, you don't stop at the movie theater. You don't stop at the mall. You don't stop at any restaurants or places like that. And so
interesting.
They kind of looked at it, and they thought about it, and they said, well, when they originally set up the Red Apple Transit, they went to the Social Security office. They went to the state health office. They went to San Juan Independence. And they looked at it, and it kind of opened up their eyes that they didn't really have a spot. I mean, they could stop close to, and they'd have to walk, but mm-hmm. it really wasn't safe for the teens. So they invited these teens to come in and work on that project. It took them about 6 months, but at the end of the time, they redid the map. So now there's a whole new set of places. They stop over close to the aquatic center. They stop at Ricketts Park, things like that. But then the kids also, what really surprised me was Mayor Roberts was, he said, well, would you like to ride the bus for free? And the teenager told Mayor Roberts, well, if it's free, no one's going to use it. He said, I think that we should invest in the project as well. Hmm. And that did catch Mayor Roberts by surprise. And he says, well, what do you think it's worth? And the teenager, he says, well, it costs $1. If you ride it every day for a month, it's going to cost you $30. Maybe it could be half of that.
Okay.
And so Mayor
Reasonable.
Robert and it was it made sense, and Mayor Roberts thought that was a great idea, and he says, how about if you do $15 and you use it for the year? And so they, you know, Mayor wow. Roberts then right. negotiated it, and they came up with the bus pass for one year ridership for teens for $15, and that proved to be pretty successful.
Right.
You know, we've had some changes with the Red Apple, and we're not offering that card anymore. Maybe that's something that we, as the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council, need to revisit this coming year and see if we could do something there. But
sure,
it's good to see the kids involved in the process. I think what's really neat to see is that the leaders look at the teens, and the teens have good ideas.
Right. Well, that's true. And they often are kind of thinking outside of the box, and they don't always maybe have the filters that the adults have, or try not to be maybe as politically correct, but they just tell it like it is, and that sometimes is good to hear.
Right.
At a table or at a meeting. So
it is important.
Yeah, very much so. So, well, thanks for the work that you do with the teens, and I would say to anyone who would like to see some great teens in action, go check out the Teen Zone at the library, because there's a lot of great youth from our community, from all over the community, that are there and doing cool things every day. So
yes,
it's amazing to see. So thanks for coming in, David.
Thank
appreciate
you for
it
having
very
me.
Much.
Thank you.
Amanda, let me turn back to you again about all these great projects that we just heard from Dave about. And again, the partnership is a partner with all of these things. We talked about some of these things happening in the city of Farmington. Are there plans maybe to try to get other communities to pass some of these ordinances or things like that? I know it's up to those governments, right?
Yeah, I don't know that we've worked on specifically getting a social host ordinance anywhere else. I don't know what Pamela's plans are for those, but I do know even that's kind of why the Youth Coalition started, is because it was because the Mayor's Teen Advisory Council definitely doesn't limit to Farmington, but it's kind of been a Farmington project. And so the Youth San Juan County Youth Coalition, Pamela Drake is the executive director of the partnership, and she goes out and actually does presentations and talks to youth throughout the whole county. She goes out to Shiprock, Kirtland, all these different places, and gets input from their youth as well, because they might have a different perspective than youth that come to the library or youth that are just in Farmington, because they have some different challenges, some different ideas.
Sure.
So it's really trying to get the whole county involved from a youth perspective.
Which is great.
Yes.
Well, very good. Before we run out of time, I do want to touch base again about the auditions for San Juan County's Got Talent. It's the sixth annual, and
yes.
Again, you are looking for all different types of talent and entertainment, correct, for the show this year?
Yeah, if you consider it a talent, we want to see it. We have a whole panel of staff and community members that judge for the auditions, and then we bring in kind of community celebrities, so to speak. We have
right.
like last year we had the mayor Duckett. We had Chair Ferrari last year, so I don't know who this year's are going to be yet, but kind of people the community knows as the judges for the Night of the Talent. And so it kind of keeps it, we have different judges every year, so you've got kind of a different perspective on what they see as talent and anything you can do that you want to show off, we would love to see.
There you go. All right. Applications are due by October 4th.
Yes.
And then the auditions will be held on October 11th and 12th. And
yes.
You can also submit a video.
Yes.
With that audition and for a chance to get on the show. And the show is coming up on October 26th.
Yes.
Here at San Juan College.
Yes.
Henderson Arts Center. And again, $500 grand prize and $300 runner-up prize. There you go. So San Juan County's Got Talent. So show us if you have talent, everybody. The call is going out. thank you all for coming in this morning. We are out of time, but lots of great things that we've talked about. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you both. My guests here from the Farmington Public Library and the San Juan County Partnership on KSJE. And I'll be back with more in just a moment, everyone. The time is 8:36. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.